And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Text lines are open, 833-687-4448. You can actually text it or call it, same number for both. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Man, we got a bunch of people already texting in. Let me see what we got here. Allie from Athens that says, preach it, Colonel Williams. Thank you, Allie. I appreciate you. Shorty from Anderson says, Phil, that was a strong and powerful monologue. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Hugh from Huntsville says, great monologue. On course for an A triple plus day. The Reagan quote pushes it to an A quadruple plus. Nice. Can't hurt to ever call in Reagan. Steve from Tennessee says, a bit off topic, but I went to early vote in Tennessee 2 days in a row and left both times because the crowd was huge. He said, something is up. Steve from Tennessee. Wow. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Yeah, I'm wondering. I may have to, you know, I hope that I can be through voting in time to get on the air at 2 o'clock on election day. That's
yeah, I'm glad I did mine via absentee ballot. You know,
yeah, well, you just moved, so you had to.
I'm still registered in Huntsville, but I'm glad that that's, you know, that's out of the way. I don't have to worry about any hiccups. But
nice, you got it delivered and all, right?
Yep,
outstanding. John from Huntsville, Phil, awesome monologue. Also, did you hear that early voting has begun in Louisiana, Hawaii, and Washington? And then he comments on how good you are, JP. So
thank you.
Jeff Rowe from Indiana says, Phil, this is a time we need good leaders. And then he says some nice things about me. Thank you, Jeff Rowe. I appreciate that, man. No. Anyway, but I'm humble and I appreciate that. Thank you very much, man. So here's the thing. We're gonna jump in. How long is that clip that I've got? That first audio clip?
A minute and a half.
We might. How much time do we have right now?
We got time. We got about 2.5 minutes.
So listen. Here's the thing. My first dipper is called "Smell the Fear." Right. I really believe that Democrats are just beside themselves right now. They are. You can smell their fear. I mean, it's almost like, holy cow, they're putting off an aroma of fear. And you can also sense a change in the momentum. When I see things like Steve from Tennessee saying he's been to early voting twice and the lines are so long, you know, you're seeing that in other states. There's a momentum to the polls right now. You're also seeing, in my opinion, a momentum in the polling right now. In fact, JP, you were telling me yesterday, I forgot to look at it, but you said Real Clear Politics had Trump up in all the battleground states right now?
Yeah, the Real Clear Politics, which encompasses a lot of different polls.
Yeah, it aggregates them, yeah.
They have him winning every battleground state right now.
Listen, a little bit of a grain of salt, but at the same time, that's a clear indication. And then you've got just the sense of things. Sometimes you can just sense it. I'll use that clip right after the break, I think, at this point. But sometimes you can just sense it. I'll never forget, just in my own limited experience of running for office at the state Senate level, you get to where you can tell when the momentum is out there. It's something about the way things feel. It's like there's a dynamic in the air. And you pick up on the nuances of things. And I'm telling you right now, the nuances of things say that there's a shifting in the momentum, and the Trump campaign is having a good time right now. They just are. It's like they look relaxed. Trump's having fun again. I mean, last night, I'm going to play you a clip in a minute of him at the Alfred Smith Memorial Foundation dinner last night in New York. It was good. It was a relaxed man who's having a good time, and yet his opponent did not show up, which I'll tell you in a minute why that was a big deal. But it just feels like things are changed, and I am hopeful that means in the 18 days we have left, that the Harris campaign is tanking. And you know what? As long as it tanks by about 1%, I'm good. I mean, but I would love an overwhelming win. I would love for people to say, well, Trump sure underpolled. But in the meantime, a win's a win. I don't care if it's 1 point or 10 points. A win's going to be a win. All I know is we have got to see some change in leadership, and we've got to see the ability to go back and right the ship, because otherwise, I'm concerned. Becky from Shelby County says, you need to be a speechwriter for President Trump. Is he hiring? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Thanks, Becky. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I am talking about this one, y'all. I mean Alabama. This show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, I got a stack of stuff here that I think are part of the nuances that tells you that you can smell the fear in the Democrats right now. Now, don't take anything for granted. I will tell you right now that it is possible for the Democrats to be holding back another October surprise, another black swan event coming in. Just keep your eyes on the prize. Go vote. Tell your friends to vote. If you haven't registered to vote and you have a deadline you haven't already passed on that, then go register and then vote. And if your friends need a ride to the polls, give them a ride to the polls. Don't let them forget. Proudly wear your I voted sticker. Show everybody you voted. I'm just saying, do not sacrifice the fact that you have been given this God-given opportunity to do what people in other countries only dream about. Vote. Now, that being said, let's go back to the Dipper here. Smell the fear. Well, part of the shifting in the momentum is, like I said, the fact that you can feel a change in the two campaigns. Kamala is becoming far more strident. I'm watching a video of her right now just like yelling at the audience. She's like mad, shaking her finger in the air. Trump, on the other hand, is like loose, having a good time. So last night was an event called the Alfred Smith Memorial Foundation Dinner. I'm not super familiar with it. I'm getting familiar more so by getting ready for the show today, but I'll tell you what it is. Since 1946, the Catholic Archdiocese of New York City has hosted a charity event. They hope to raise like $9 million just on last night's dinner. It's like a gala. Everybody's in, you know, tuxedo, and it's a formal dinner. Launched in 1946, they've raised millions and millions and millions of dollars for charities supporting women and children. So it's turned into like this political and cultural landmark event. Every you know, presidential season, they host it. And every presidential season, both the Democrat and Republican presidential nominee attends. And it's a roast. And you get up and you do good-natured jokes and you do self-deprecating jokes and you shake hands with people and you smile and then you get back on the campaign trail the next day. Every single Democrat has attended in modern history since 1946, except Walter Mondale, who I think in the 70s, when would Mondale run? The 70s? Anyway, bottom line is, yeah. Mondale lost huge because it seemed to be like an affront to the Catholic community for not showing up. It's that important. It's one of those things that when you start the campaign, you go ahead and put it on the calendar. You don't plan other events. Guess who didn't show up last night? Kamala Harris. Oh, yeah. So the woman whose campaign surrogate just did a fake version of, with the Dorito of the of Holy Communion. That didn't fly very well. The woman who was pro-abortion, so much so that it's like the centerpiece of her campaign. The woman who is pro-Palestine and says pro-Israel, but yet too often allows for Israel to get seconded to the pro-Palestinian activists in her party. I mean, and then the LGBTQ support, which goes against the Catholic teachings, really the Christian teachings. All said and done, she got some bad advice. She did not show up for the dinner. She said she was campaigning in the battleground states, although I don't know what she was really doing. And certainly, I'll tell you, nothing was more important than this. Trump went and had the best time. And let me pay. We're gonna play an audio for you here in a second. You got your thumbs up on that? You good? All right. So I'm gonna play this audio for you, but I want to. If you haven't seen it, I need to portray. So just mental image here. You ready? Trump is up on the stage at a podium. And it's one of those situations where the head tables are kind of tiered at the podium. So everybody's sitting around the podium. And, of course, there's a room full of tables, people wearing tuxedos and evening dress and all. And Trump is standing there in his tuxedo. And immediately to his left, so much so that more than once he reaches down and pats him on the shoulder, is Chuck Schumer. Oh, awkward. Sitting right behind him as he speaks is none other than New York Attorney General Letitia James, who has been prosecuting him. Awkward. The room is filled with people that hate Trump, but they also really, really hate the fact that their candidate didn't show up. I say she didn't show up. She sent a video. And it was designed to be funny, and it kind of was, but it was also kind of cringe. So it's never as good as real life. Meanwhile, comedian Jim Gaffigan is the MC. Gaffigan's having a big time. Gaffigan's up there, and people are like, did he just take shots at Democrats? Yes, he did. At one point, Gaffigan goes, I'm sorry, why is Vice President Harris not here? I mean, consider this, he said. This is a room full of Catholics and Jews in New York City. This is a layup for the Democrat nominee. He said, in her defense, I mean, she did have to go ahead and appear on The View, Howard Stern, Colbert, and the longtime staple of campaigning, the Call Her Daddy podcast. He says in his Gaffigan voice, you know what I think it is? I think she doesn't like me. He went on to joke about the fact that Democrats have been telling us all along that Trump's re-election is a threat to democracy, so much so they were willing to stage their own coup to get rid of their guy in order to install Kamala. Listen, then Trump got up and gave his well, I got to say this first. It also became something that, I mean, go figure that Cardinal Dolan actually has his own podcast. Everybody, all God's children got a podcast. But Cardinal Timothy Dolan has his own podcast. And he called her out on his podcast. The fact that she was snubbing them, he said, this year will be imbalanced because sadly Kamala Harris is not coming. It's a shame. And he went on to talk about what could have happened if she'd come. I'm going to play this clip for a few minutes. I'll take it back. It's only like a minute and a half, right? These are five of the best barbs that Trump delivered in his 27-minute speech. Go ahead and play it.
I used to think the Democrats were crazy for saying that men have periods. But then I met Tim Walz. Well, I'd better wrap up because Mayor Adams told me earlier that I needed to make this one very quick, especially the city has reserved this room for a large group of illegal aliens coming in from Texas. There's a group called White Dudes for Harris. Have you seen this? White Dudes for Harris. Anybody know it? Are some of you here? White Dudes for Harris. Doesn't sound like it. But I'm not worried about them at all because their wives and their wives' lovers are all voting for me. A major issue in this race is child care, and Kamala has put forward a concept of a plan. A lot of people don't like it. The only piece of advice I would have for her in the event that she wins would be not to let her husband, Doug, anywhere near the nannies. Just keep them away.
Oh, God.
That's a nasty one. Chuck Schumer is here looking very glum. Doesn't he look glum? He looks glum. But look on the bright side, Chuck, considering how woke your party has become. If Kamala loses, you still have a chance to become the first woman president.
That's hilarious.
I watched it live. That I was laughing out loud throughout most of it.
I didn't see the whole speech. Was the whole speech like that? Was it good?
Yeah, there were a couple that fell flat. But what's funny is the ones that fell flat, Trump put his speech writer under the bus. He was like, that wasn't a good one.
But what's funny, too, that one he said about Schumer, he actually reached down and patted him on the shoulder. I mean, Schumer's sitting right there. Mm-hmm. Listen, it's a clear indication for me that There's a tone right now. Trump seems to be having a good time. J.D. Vance seems to be having a good time. Trump surrogates. Elon Musk did a town hall today. He's out speaking to groups of, students and telling them, look, here's the deal. It's important. Sign up to vote. And then taking their questions. I mean, you got students who are sitting there able to ask Elon Musk questions. And overall, there is a different sense of things coming out of the Republican side, whereas on the Democrat side, I mean, there's unsubstantiated reports right now that there is a meltdown inside of the Kamala headquarters, that she completely chewed out her chief advisor for advising her to skip the dinner last night, because they're recognizing now what a blowback they're getting out of it. That at the very least, you took a large swath of American society and you just snubbed them, and they know it. Because that dinner we just talked about, that dinner is more than just a fundraiser. In today's society, it's a landmark Catholic moment. And so the Catholic community, and just like Jews can tell when they're being snubbed in favor of pro-Palestinian supporters, and The Catholics feel snubbed from last night. And Kamala is just like absent without leave right now. She is as AWOL on that. And she's going out to where, now she did Bret Baier. She did Bret Baier. I will say this. There is still some blowback out of that. Before I go to the break, I'll give you this one. Part of the Smell Their Fear piece. This is a quote. This is Democrat strategist Doug Schoen. And I'll tell you what, Doug Schoen is one of those guys who, he's a true believer in the Democrat Party. He's also one of those guys who will tell you like he sees it. He won't try to pretend they're doing good when they're not. So Doug Schoen, in an interview on Fox, Washington Examiner has the piece, Dateline yesterday. He said the Democrat Party right now is experiencing what he calls disorientation on the ground. Swing states like Pennsylvania and Michigan, he says, trouble is brewing. Harris's campaign is experiencing complications roughly 3 weeks before Election Day, Schoen said. Here's his quote. You ready? Quote, the so-called blue wall of Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania is eroding for the Democrats, said Schoen on Fox News' Ingram Engel. He said there's a level of disorganization on the ground and incoherence vis-a-vis their messaging that is clear. And what I'm picking up, he said, is the Harris campaign really does not have a closing message or a strategy. And I think we saw that in Bret Baier's interview with Kamala Harris. That's a Democrat saying that. That's a Democrat saying that. Democrat John Fetterman. I've gotten to where I kind of like Fetterman. Democrat John Fetterman just said about Pennsylvania, he is warning that President Donald Trump's chances to win the state are really increasing. He said, quote, he has a special kind of place in this state. And then James Comer, Republican James Comer, said it appears there could be a panic among Democrats before Election Day, looking at things and how they're shifting the momentum, he said, in the swing states. All said and done, y'all, you can smell the fear. When we get back, I'll give you a few little nuanced issues that I see when you pick up headlines and you read between the lines. When you read between the lines, you can tell there is literally a smell of fear in the air from the Democrat side. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, so we're in this number one of the Triple Dipper. By the way, don't forget, coming up top of the hour, we'll come back from the next break with U.S. Senator Katie Britt on the line with us. So smell the fear. Sometimes it's little stuff, right? Sometimes it's the little stuff. It's like watching people get triggered. It's like watching people do stupid. And I mean like really go all in on the stupid. Like here's somebody that's devolved into the stupid, all right? This is from Wokesby, Dateline 2 days ago. Moore County, North Carolina. The Moore County, North Carolina Democratic Party, their board chairman has resigned after he was arrested for stealing pro-Donald Trump yard signs. So, listen, you don't steal signs when you're winning big, right? And let me just say, I have had my signs stolen. I've had my signs cut up. I've even found my signs at the shooting range just being used for target practice. Just saying. But people don't steal the signs if they're not at all worried about the signs. Does that make sense? And signs don't vote. That's what we used to always say. That somebody would say, Phil, you got to get some signs over there to West Etowah County. Man, ain't nobody got no signs out there. Well, you know what? Signs don't vote. I get it. But it's a visual reminder of the campaign. And so there's that. But when people start stealing signs, it's because either A, they are just so incensed, or B, they're scared. They don't want people remembering you. They don't want you to know. And so when I look at little things like this, you begin to smell the fear. That's in Moore County, North Carolina. The former Moore County Democratic Party chair, a guy named Lowell Simon, had to resign after he was arrested on Thursday and charged with 2 counts of removing political signs. By the way, those signs cost money. And when you go into someone's personal property to steal a sign that they got, and sometimes people bought the signs or at least were given the signs, the campaign had to pay for them. That's someone's personal property you're stealing off of their yard. So, yeah, it's a problem. I remember when my dad ran for office, there was somebody that would go along and actually use a razor and cut his signs in half. Every one of those signs cost money. But let's go bigger picture. I mean, that's one county, Phil. What does that really tell us? How about this? Joy Behar. Oh, no. Oh, yes. Joy Behar, co-host on The View. She's actually expressing worry on Wednesday about recent polling showing good outcomes for Republicans. She says this, I'm starting to worry about the polls because I see a lot of media saying that he's leading and everybody's getting nervous about that. Behar said, they're doing that on purpose because basically it's so disheartening for Democrats and people who are leaning towards Kamala to say, what are you doing? Don't buy into that. Don't buy into that. What she's trying to say is, please ignore the polls. It does. Please ignore the polls. All right. So the bottom line is this. I can look at things like Joy Behar. I can look at things like local county party chairs stealing signs because they're worried about people remembering to vote. I can think about things like this. Liberal filmmaker and activist Michael Moore, Fox News. Michael Moore is urging Vice President Kamala Harris to appeal to Arab Americans over serious concerns about losing Michigan. Michael Moore. Look, that guy is a liberal hack. But he's out there right now saying the inside words outside. He says, those of us from Michigan have serious concerns about you losing Michigan, and we can't let that happen. We fear you may not have the whole picture as we see it here on the ground. That's why we're reaching out to you. Well, let me just say, Michael Moore, Joy Behar, local party chair, Catholics who feel snubbed from the dinner last night, TikTokers having meltdowns, Kamala getting angry on the stump. The whole thing is you can smell the fear. Have I got a call on the line? I'm sorry. Line one, Brian from Huntsville. Hey, Brian, how you doing, buddy?
Doing okay. I've had political signs stolen, too, and everything. And depending on where I park, I've gone to magnetic stickers. That way I can take them off at night if anybody's going by.
Nice.
Put them back on the next day. But, at that point, I meant it's a serious sign of weakness. Dishonoring our First Amendment by going and, well, taking them to the target range or doing that kind of thing, that means you have no confidence in yourself, and you really don't have a confidence in your want-to-be leader to be able to succeed in the election.
Yeah, it does.
You're showing your weakness.
It's cheesy. It's just it's a cheesy, limp way of handling things, and it's a clear indication that you don't have confidence. You're right. Absolutely,
man. Y'all have a good one.
See you, brother.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, that thing about the signs being stolen, it's real. I mean, people do that. It irks me.
Have you seen that one video of the guy hooking up his Trump sign to somebody went up trying to take it and he got shot?
Yes, yes, I did. And I think my favorite one though was the one where the guy and the girl in the car. And he's going to run over a Trump sign. He's like, look at that Trump sign over there. I'm swinging around. I'm going to get it. He doesn't know that the person was so tired of having their Trump sign torn down that they had stood it on a nail board. And so he ran over it, flattened his tires, and then had a complete meltdown on the side of the road while his girlfriend laughed at him because she'd been trying to say, don't do this.
Yeah.
Listen, I believe you can smell the fear, you guys. And there's things happening right now, and you can see stuff like people that are making no sense whatsoever. Like, is it related? Yes, I think it is. Story out of New York Post. I don't know if you saw the video online, but a TikToker went all in on tearing down the flags that she thought were Israeli flags in front of a restaurant, telling them this is wrong. This is genocide. There's genocide on these flags. There's genocide. Just yelling at the flag. And the guy comes out and goes, what are you doing? She goes, it's genocide. And he says, those are Greek flags. Oh, I didn't know. My bad. But that's what happens when people start devolving into stupid because they're scared. Coming up next, U.S. Senator Katie Britt. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Listen, says, Grace, well, thank you very much. About my monologue earlier, says, Phil Williams for Trump speechwriter. You're blessed with the gift of expression of words eloquently and to the point, changing one mind at a time. Grace, thank you very much. I am honored by that. David from Bucky's says, Phil, Kamala Harris has yet to show the ability to lead, follow, or get out of the way. I know. You know what? She won't lead. She doesn't follow anybody, and she just won't get out of the way. So you're right, David. That's a great point. Brian from Decatur says Trump killed it on that. So we played that audio earlier of Trump delivering some zinger lines last night at the dinner in New York City. By the way, the Albert Smith Memorial Foundation dinner, the reason why it's called the Albert Smith dinner is because Albert Smith was the first Catholic to ever run for president. And so they named it, I think in the 1930s. And so they founded the dinner in 1946, immediately after World War II. And Albert Smith Memorial Foundation dinner, New York City. And Brian from Decatur says, Trump killed it, in my opinion. Mike from Coxey, Alabama says, Democrats are having a meltdown. Just the thought of losing the White House causes them to be upset. But adding insult to injury, losing to Donald Trump makes them scared. It does. You know what's crazy? Is they're going to prosper because of this. That's what's amazing. Is they're scared to death of Trump getting in, but their economy is going to be better. Their personal security is going to be better. Their bank accounts are going to be better. Their businesses are going to do better. And all of those liberal pundits who have their own talk shows or they work on networks, they're going to have plenty to talk about if they want to.
Can I admit something?
Yeah.
I am genuinely concerned and worried about the left's response if Trump wins, because if you remember back in during his whole first presidency, it was almost like they spent all of their attention on trying to get him out with all the impeachment attempts. And then the mainstream media, their sole focus was twisting, you know, the perception of Trump and trying to get people to turn against him. And I'm just worried that how far will they go to try to get him out if he wins again? You know, and people like to talk about, oh, if Trump loses, his MAGA Republicans, there's going to be a civil war. I'm worried about what the left's going to do in response to this, because they have no boundaries to how far they'll go to get him out or try to get him out. And I'm very concerned about that, honestly.
Are you concerned in terms of civil unrest, or are you concerned for his own personal security?
Not his own personal security. I'm just concerned for, I'll say it this way, the Democrats who are currently in office in the House or in the Senate and such, if they put their sole focus is on trying to get him out, you know, it's like they almost will, they'll go to their own detriment to try to get him out. And that on top of the mainstream media's attempts to try to, you know, throw dirt on him, I'm just concerned by if it will be worse than his first presidency.
Okay, so a couple thoughts on that. First of all, there's going to be a bit of a freak out when he gets elected. And then secondly, there's also going to be a huge amount of regret, because they're going to realize how much political capital they expended that they now have just lost on. The thing that's going to wind up preserving everything is if we can have the House and the Senate in Republican hands. And I don't say that like preserving it like to get all the things done we want, but also preserving it to help beat back some of those fights. Here's the other thing we got to watch. They're going to have a complete meltdown when they realize that there may be a couple of potential appointments to the U.S. Supreme Court that are going to happen during the next Trump tenure. And they're just freaking out right now in general. Civil unrest, maybe. But I think you're also seeing the black vote is switching over. So I think some of the air has gone out of the tires of things like Black Lives Matter and all that. And then on top of that, I think the world is a little more prepared at this point. So more to come. I share some of your concerns, but I think it's going to be okay. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, coming up next. We'll be with John Wall, chairman of the Republican Party. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live from the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a Friday afternoon. Listen, we're going to the phones right now. Alabama U.S. Senator Katie Britt is on the line with us. Senator Britt, how you doing?
Fall afternoon, and we certainly, there are no shortage of topics we could cover today.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a target-rich environment for me having a conservative talk show.
It really is.
Hey, let me ask you this, just to segue off of what I've been talking about right before you came on. I just did an entire segment I called Smell the Fear. I really feel like you can sense a change in the momentum, and that the Trump campaign seems to be having a good time. They seem relaxed and kind of laughing. And then the Democrats are having a complete, you know, come apart. I believe you can smell the fear on the Democrat side 18 days before the polls close. What do you think?
I could not agree with you more. Look, I'll rewind to a few weeks ago. I flew back to D.C. We were in Georgia for Faith and Freedom, J.D. Vance and I. And I flew back with J.D. to D.C. And in that conversation, J.D. said, look, I mean, here's where our polling is. We're moving in the right direction. We're where we need to be. He could feel the momentum and grunt. You could sense a calmness, about J.D. and a, hey, we're right where we need to be, and we're going to make this happen. And I think I have seen that just continue, to your point, the entire campaign, from Trump to surrogates to others. you know, building off of that momentum, knowing that our message is finally resonating in a way that the American people are responding. It's like we finally, I guess the better way to put that is we have finally broken through. The mainstream media has tried to deflect, not let President Trump and J.D. Vance tell their story and what they want to do for the American people. And fortunately for us, we've broken through. And the truth is, the more people see about Kamala, the more they see her out there, the more they see her answer questions. I mean, goodness gracious, with that Brett Baer interview,
yeah,
the more they realize there is no way, not only is she not right on the issues, but she is incapable of leading this nation forward. And so you're right. It feels good. And I know we can't take anything for granted. We certainly have to be vigilant in every state, in every way, make sure that every vote is counted, that we continue to encourage people by knocking doors, making phone calls, talking to our friends, not just here at home, but across the country, making sure they know what's at stake. But even in the Senate races, Phil, we are right where we need to be to hopefully have a really good night on November 5th.
No, I agree, because I think the presidency is key. We've got to have it, but we got to also have the House and the Senate. And I look forward to seeing a complete sea change in D.C. And then it's going to be necessary, I think, because there's so much to have to unwind at this point. But Senator, I think I mentioned it before last time you were on the air, somebody who I know that you're personal friends with, and I've gotten to where I actually really appreciate him, is Democrat Senator John Fetterman. And he recently said,
absolutely,
he's warning people right now. He's a Democrat. He's an avowed Democrat. He gets it. He's a true believer, but he also speaks truth. And he said recently that Democrats better wake up, because Trump's chances of winning his home state of Pennsylvania are pretty strong. He said, quote, he has a special kind of place in that state.
You know, and look, obviously it is well documented that John and I have, you know, many political beliefs that are different, but John and I are good friends, and Wesley and I are proud to call he and Giselle friends. We've gotten to know them, and to your point, that's exactly right. He speaks truth, and he understands Pennsylvania when it comes to, you know, from being lieutenant governor to now serving in this space. And to have someone of his stature and willingness to put it out there, say that, that lets you know that the momentum on the ground there in Pennsylvania, you know, a state that up until a couple of weeks ago, Democrats were sure they were going to hold. I mean, to the point where she didn't even pick Shapiro because she thought she had that one, you know, locked up. I think that's shifting. And even now, that Senate race, Bob Casey, longtime incumbent, and Dave McCormick is in a different spot. It is literally neck and neck. And let me tell you how else you know this. You see Bob Casey now running campaign ads, Phil, running campaign ads with Donald Trump in them. And he is not the only Democratic incumbent who's doing that. Tammy Baldwin is also doing that in Wisconsin. And then you see Sherrod Brown, who is anything but a moderate, running as a moderate and sending out mailers talking about how he worked with Donald Trump. And that shows you right there, people want the common sense practicality of Donald Trump back in the White House. They want a leader who wants to put America, American opportunity, American citizens, American businesses in the very best place possible to succeed, unlike what we're seeing out of Biden-Harris, where they let the border be wide open, where they don't stand up for even American companies. We've seen this with Vulcan in Mexico, allowing Mexico to seize their property.
Yes.
It's really unimaginable. And then what were the chaos we're seeing across the globe, putting Americans at risk? It's just people are ready for a change. And to your point, you can feel it. And it's got to be a big night, not just for the president, but we want it to be for the House and the Senate as well.
Well, and there's plenty of news out there. And one of the things it's a news story, in my opinion, it's kind of an aggregate here, but is that the Democrats continue to factionalize the nation. They divide everybody up into little sectors, little pots. And they have they're determined to go after the black vote, and they do so with pandering, and they're determined to ignore the Catholic vote by skipping the dinner last night in New York City, and then they're scared to death of supporting Jews too strongly because it might alienate the Arab Palestinian faction vote, and I think what they're doing though is they're angering everybody because they can't please anybody.
Bingo. And it also shows you that their moral compass is broken. I mean, they're not standing firm on anything but the fact that they are going to tell everybody what they want to hear and or retreat and be weak. And look, it's that weakness that we've seen from the White House, you know, treating Iran with, like, if you appease them, if you try to be friends with them, they're going to all of a sudden, you know, share our values and be nice. No, that's not how it works. And when you see her even talk to Bret Baier and try to blame Trump for Iran, when they are the ones that refuse to actually enforce sanctions, they, you know, they are the ones that have chosen this path of don't, which obviously, as you and I have talked before, our adversaries just hear do every time they say that. I think you're right. And I think at the end of the day, too, they don't have Americans' best interest at heart in what they're doing at the border and what they're doing abroad. And if they do, it's sure a funny way of showing it. And I think Americans can feel it. I really do, Phil. I mean, are you hearing that from your listeners and people that you in the community with, church, all the things? I mean, are they seeing that too?
Absolutely. I mean, I know for a fact that to some degree I run in a bubble. So within the bubble, I certainly am hearing that there's a sense that they don't have America's best interest at heart. But I think that the broader public is feeling that. And I think that what's happening is the undecided voters are finally becoming decided. The vote is gelling. And I think that's very, very, very telling. And let me ask you this. You mentioned and abroad. Speaking of abroad, I want to ask you, since you're in the D.C. environment right now, the response to the fact that Israel continues to decapitate the worst of the worst in the Middle East. And yesterday they finally caught Yahya Sinwar, the leader of the Hamas faction. And
amazing.
It really was amazing. I mean,
amazing.
Israel has become like extremely adept. If you're out there, they will find you. But what's the mood like in D.C.?
Isn't that the way you want to be known?
Yeah.
Isn't that the way you want to be known?
Right.
It's like if you come for me, you can go hide. But guess what? I will find you. And that is what Israel has said. And look, I mean, you think back to October 7th and obviously just the devastation and the barbaric terrorist attack. And there were so many, even in this ground invasion, think about Sinwar. So you have Kamala Harris saying, I've studied the map and a ground invasion will not work in Rafah.
Yes.
Well, aren't we glad they didn't listen to Kamala Harris? Aren't they glad that they went in? And because otherwise he would still be out there plotting, killing more innocent Jewish people and America. Because think about this. Remember, death to America, death to Israel. That's what we've got to take a step back and just applaud Israel for making sure that barbaric terrorists are no longer on the face of this globe. Look, and I think when you see what they've done and what they've been able to accomplish, I mean, whether it's, gosh, I mean, think about the beepers. I mean,
oh, yeah.
You know,
huge.
You've been in this world. The amount of time and intentionality and connectivity and then quiet. I mean, that never leaked. And you know how long they had to be working on it. And to send that message of we know who you are, we know where you are, and we know how to get to you immediately in a way that creates confusion, destruction. I mean, it was amazing. And then you pull out walkie-talkies when your beepers, and then we'd go there. And then you come out from hiding underneath these tunnels, and we'll find you there. So I think this is a real moment. If this could be a moment for peace, if the people of Gaza will release, if those in those that are still with Hamas and those that are not will release these innocent hostages, these people that the American citizens, Israeli citizens all across the board, release them and let there be a time, you know, put your weapons down and let's forge a path forward. And, you know, I'm hopeful in those regards, but obviously not naive. And we've got to have leadership that's willing to say, hey, we're going to enforce these sanctions against Iran. I mean, if you look back under Trump administration, even the New York Times said both Hezbollah and Hamas were literally bankrupt.
Yeah.
And that's because we used every tool in our toolbox. And I'm not talking about the lethal ones. We used the non-lethal tools in our toolbox to make them feel the pain, and they did. And we've got to go back to doing those things, and we certainly have to stand with our greatest ally in the Middle East, and that's most definitely Israel.
I think one of my favorite quotes in recent days has been one of your colleagues, Senator Tom Cotton from Arkansas, said the only people left in Hezbollah were the ones who weren't important enough to have a beeper or a walkie-talkie.
That is so Tom Cotton. I always call Tom, you know, when Tom is on the Intelligence Committee. He obviously has served honorably in our armed forces. He's a member of the Armed Services Committee. And so I will call him frequently, you know, just saying, hey, look, here's what I'm seeing. This is what I've read. Here's what I'm gathering. Like, or, you know, what else? And those are some of the best conversations because Tom is just directly to the point and obviously stands firmly with our men and women in uniform, but also understands how to truly achieve peace through strength. And so I always enjoy hearing how Tom is going to react to one of these things.
Well, Senator, I hate it, but we're out of time. But I really appreciate you making some time on a Friday afternoon. And in the meantime, stay in touch. And 18 days, let's see this thing all the way through to a new day, I hope.
Hey, absolutely. And hey, and thank you for bringing up Israel. I mean, they not only have a right, they have a duty to defend themselves and their people. And so thank you for bringing up that as well. And let's get this done. 18 days. Let's
all right. Senator Katie Britt, thanks so much. Right. Have a great weekend. That's take us to the break there, JP, but that's just cool. And I really appreciate the fact that her staff reached out and said, you got time for her to call in because she may have some commentary. And yes, she did. All right, listen, we're going to come back, take some text messages, and then bottom of the hour, we're going to keep going with Chairman John Wall of the Alabama Republican Party, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, giving you all the truth you can put on a bumper sticker. David from Hoax Bluff checks in and just sends me a picture and says, sweet taters. I mean, so apparently he's been out in the garden. Good on you, David. Dorothy from Elkmont says, who will certify the election? There's a conflict of interest with Kamala on the ticket. Won't this disqualify her? That's a great question. But, you know, Mike Pence would have been allowed to certify certify the last one, and he was on the ticket as a vice president. So I think the bottom line is she has a constitutional duty. She'll have to do it. And if not, then they'll declare a proxy necessary. The pro tem of the Senate can actually do it in her absence. But if they need her there for her vote, she'll have to be there. Jim from Grove Oak says Shelby County, Tennessee, had trouble with their voting machines this week. Ah, did not know that. Jim from Grove Oak, if you know that if there's anything messy afoot, let us know. If it's just trouble with the machines and they got it worked out, then okay. Brian from Decatur says, in your opinion, how does a true Jesus-loving Christian or a devout Muslim vote for the Democrat Party? I would add Jews to that too, by the way. Everything they stand for seems to go completely against the basis of both religions, taking the Israeli conflict out of it. You left off. Listen, I think the bottom line is, I'm an evangelical Christian myself. I believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He's my personal Savior. I believe that no one comes to the Father except by Him, and I believe that with all my heart. I am aware that other people have different kinds of faith, but what I'm looking at right now is if you study the tenets of the Christian faith, of the Jewish faith, and even of the Muslim faith, you will find that the Democrat Party contradicts them on a regular basis. Now, I'm not saying the Republicans are perfect. I'm not. But if you look at the tenets of those faiths, by and large, you will find that the things that those faiths say they stand for at their core are not generally supported right now by the Democrat Party. It's a little wild to watch, but so I don't know what to tell you, man. John from Huntsville says, JP, when is your on sports segment with JP going to be on? Because I got a couple of Friday night college football picks for you to make, John. Coming up at the top of the hour.
Yep, and I'm ready for them.
All right.
I feel like my Friday predictions have been pretty good, but my Saturday predictions have not been too great the last couple of weeks.
Well, I was proud to be one of your guest pickers, and I can't brag about my picks. So, but that was also upset weekend.
He did better than me still.
That's true. Okay, there's that. Roy from Hartsell says, Phil, I'd love to have been a fly on the wall when Kamala heard Trump's words at that dinner in New York. Listen, you know what? I think that would have – she's been very angry on the stump here the last 24 hours. I mean, there's multiple videos of her just like going complete ballistic at the stump, waving her hands in the air and yelling like she's mad. I think she genuinely is mad, to be honest. I think she's tense, she's mad, and she's scared. Lois from Birmingham. By the way, let me step back. Kamala. There was going to be something for her. She'll get a gig on The View or something if she when she loses. But I think right now she is upset and scared, not for because she really, really, really wants to be the president. I think she's upset and scared because she doesn't know what to do with herself if she's not the president.
Yeah, where does she go if she loses? Honestly, like
she's not a senator, not an AG, not a vice president.
I mean, the Democratic Party kind of ousts its own people for embarrassing losses. If like this will be an embarrassing loss if Kamala loses, so
it will be.
Her political career could very well be over if she loses it.
Well, it better be over.
Yeah,
she was at the pinnacle, and she, you know, Trump is one of the few people in U.S. history who has been able to be beaten and then come back and run for the office again at that level.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's done. She's toast. But I think she'll probably get a book deal. She'll get some. Who knows? Maybe she'll go home and run for governor in California. But, you know, Gavin's got his thing where he's going to do something in a few years. He's probably going to be the next candidate. Jenny from Decatur says, sweet home. I don't. What are we doing? Sweet home about what? Okay, sweet home. I great. Trey from Madison says, imagine the devil sitting in hell watching the big archway marked new arrivals. And he's singing, sitting here waiting on my ya-ya. Oh, I gotcha. Okay. Now I see. David from Florence is brand spanking new in the text lines. We're glad you're there, David. He says, David from Florence, UNA grad, listen to the show regularly. He says, William Koenig has a book called Eye to Eye on the Consequences of Dividing Israel. Alex Newman, book on indoctrinating our children to death, is very good on public schools. And Amir Safarti is a retired major in the Israeli military and a Christian, has a good Telegram channel.
I follow Amir's Telegram channel.
Really?
He's one of the best ones in terms of reporting from the actual area.
I'm new to that. I need to clue in. David from Florence, glad you're in the text lines. More to come. Coming up after the top of the hour, JP on Sports. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I do mean this one. I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right, I tell you, somebody else who covers a whole lot of ground is my friend John Wall, who is the chairman of the Alabama Republican Party. Now, he's one of only 50 people in the nation that has his gig, being the chairman of the entire state's Republican Party. That's highly overworked and extremely underpaid, but it also makes him somebody who not only focuses on Alabama's politics, but he gets to be a part of the team, so to speak, in the big picture. And he's coming on the line right now to talk to us. John Wall, how are you doing?
I am good. It's good to be on the show.
Well, it's good to have you, and I appreciate you making some time on a Friday afternoon. I know you're traveling right now, so thanks for taking the time.
No, look, absolutely. You know, and this is one of those times for the next 2.5 weeks, and it's hard to believe we're at 2.5 weeks. But for that time period, it's going to be nonstop. You know, hit the ground running, keep people informed, make sure we're connecting all the dots, and that we don't let anything fall through the cracks, whether that's nationally, whether that's
Hey, and John, your signal's getting a little weak. I hope you can hear us okay. But the reality is, yes, 2.5 weeks. I mean, it feels like this campaign has been longer than usual. It feels like we have actually run multiple campaigns within one campaign. I think between all the lawfare against our candidate and then the switching out of the Democrat Party candidate, this one just seems like it has just had legs that just kept on churning.
No, absolutely. And look, we already won the president's race once. And so the Democrats have us back for a second round. You know, we beat Joe Biden. Now we're back against Kamala Harris. And I think they're panicking again because I think they see the trend headed in our direction. The American people are not being fooled. And they're seeing through some of this. And the trend is actually headed towards the Republican Party and towards Donald Trump.
You and I were talking just offline right before you came on the air. Real Clear Politics has a view of the battleground states that is the first time we've seen this. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, you know, what I love about, you know, using Real Clear Politics is they do a poll of polls. So it's not just a single person, not a conservative or a liberal pollster. They do a consensus of all different polls out there. And for the first time this cycle, Donald Trump is in the lead in every one of the seven swing states.
Yeah.
And And it's incredible. But what they also don't take into account is if Donald Trump can continue his trend from both 2016 and 2020 of overperforming the polls, this could be a very early and a very good night for the Republican Party.
Let's bring it. I mean, I don't know what it's going to take to get some of the vote count from some of the I mean, Pennsylvania, please don't make us wait for days again. Go ahead.
Well, and like I said, the good thing is there's a chance that we don't even need Pennsylvania. Look, what we're facing here is an incredible situation, and I don't want to get anyone overconfident.
Right.
Do not be overconfident. Right. Make sure you call your friends, your family in these swing states. You go vote here in Alabama. But I think what we're seeing is historic, because for 10 years now, the mainstream media have villainized Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. They've told people how horrible he is, that he's the equivalent of a Nazi, you know, the insults, the negativity. They whipped people into such a fury that there's been 2 assassination attempts. And with all that negativity, with big tech, with censorship, Donald Trump is still on the cusp of becoming the next president of the United States of America.
Yeah.
And I think that is a compliment. It's a highlight to the people of America who have seen through this rubbish and who have really said, no, you know what, we're going to think for ourselves. And we're not going to let a politically correct socialist mainstream media tell us how to think.
That's a great point. And I think there's also another piece of that sentiment is that there's a sort of an underlying sense that if they're allowed to get away with doing that to him, then what will they do to us? Right now, I've said multiple times, I don't think there's anybody that could have withstood the onslaught better than he. He's uniquely suited between his own personal finances, his own resilience, his own network, and his own, you know, semi-incumbency as the president to be able to withstand the onslaught. And he just keeps on going. And right now, I said it earlier, it looks like he's even having a good time doing it.
I was down in Mar-a-Lago 2 days ago, and we're kind of going over some numbers, you know, getting ready for the final stretch, talked with the president. You're absolutely right. I do not know how he does it. I do not know where his energy comes from. I'm 38 years old, and I cannot keep up with him. He is very much enjoying it. There's a feeling around that things are going, not just things are going well, but that people are understanding, and that even the mainstream media is waking up to the fact that there's a clear separation between these two candidates, and there's a clear record. Look, they can lie all day long, but the bottom line is we all know where Kamala Harris stands on issues like the economy, on the border, on drilling, on national policy. And there's a clear differentiation between her and Donald Trump. And I think there's an excitement there because we see people that know the difference, and they're actually excited about bringing common sense policies back to the White House.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what's interesting, too, is I keep watching the Democrats and they're going to have their base. I mean, the Democrat base is going to vote for her. I mean, if she went on TV and sacrificed babies on TV, they would still vote for her. There's a lot of those. But I also watch, and I think she's a lot of her demise is self-inflicted wounds.
Yeah, well, and it's scary because, you know, that Democrat base is about 40 to 45% of the country. And it's very scary when you think about the fact that it wouldn't matter what the policies were. It would not matter where our country was financially or on a global scale, they would vote Democrat no matter what because they've been conditioned. And I would say brainwashed. I'm not going to hold back. I don't need to be politically correct here. I'm going to be honest about it. We have a socialist mentality in our education system that are turning people out, and the mainstream media reinforces this, that just want to condition people and brainwash them into believing that the government knows how to live our lives better than we do, and that the individuals shouldn't run this country, the global elite should. And I think that's the difference here. There are people who will just vote for the politically correct choice no matter what because they've been told that's the smart thing. That's what the educated thing to do is. And I think that's why our work does not get done. If Donald Trump gets elected November 5th, our work is not done. Our work has just started. Because what we have to do is we have to educate people, and we have to explain why these values are so important. And we actually, as Republicans, our elected officials, have to actually fulfill the promises that we've made and have the backbone and get the job done.
No, totally. And if we don't, if we squander the opportunity, then shame on us.
That's right.
Hey, let me ask you before we run out of time. We got about 5 minutes left, but there's two things I wanted to cover down with you. One is there's been a lot of pandering from the Democrats right now. The Kamala Harris campaign really pandering for the black vote. I think they're very concerned about the losses that they're seeing in the polls among black voters. Your thoughts on that and what you're seeing or sensing nationwide. And then I want to talk about Georgia before we run out of time. Go ahead with the black vote first.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think you're absolutely right. Look, the Democrat Party has they do best when they divide us as a people.
Yeah.
You know, that's all the Democrat Party is all about, division. They want to take us, divide us into groups of race to guide us, you know, gender, divide us by gender. You know, they always say women should vote Democrat. You know, white men are horrible. Well, why can't we just look at people as individuals? You know, every single person made in the image of Almighty God with the equal rights, constitutionally protected, and go back to that kind of the vision of our founding fathers of looking at every single person as what's best for you is then best for the entire country. And it's not what's best for your racial bloc or your sexual orientation. Forget all that. Just look at people as individuals again.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the Democrat Party is having trouble with right now. They have these coalitions where they split people into groups, but these groups are starting to have problems with each other because the Democrat Party has become so woke and so divisive with some of their policy positions recently. And a lot of the black community are centered around family. They're centered around the church, especially down here in the South. And I think that's really creating a thing where the black community are saying, you know what, we're not being represented by the Democrat Party.
Yeah.
They do not share our values. And they're looking for an alternative. And look, as chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, I want to say we want your vote. We're not asking for your vote. We want to have the chance to earn your vote. We want to help help the economy be better, where you can have jobs. We want to help you be free, and we want to help you get if there's welfare. We're not opposed to welfare, but what we want is we want you to be so successful you don't need to be on welfare.
Yeah.
And we want to help you live the American dream, and we want to earn the African American vote. And I certainly hope and pray that this trend continues.
Yeah, I do too.
Of the African American community coming around on that.
Well, that's so well said. Listen, no reason for me to add to that. Let me switch gears real quick before I run out of time. Georgia, right next door to us, to our east, is Georgia, which is unbelievably considered somewhat of a purple state. It's a battleground state. Early voting has already been ongoing now for a few days, and they're seeing record turnout. I know the Alabama Republicans are in Georgia helping door knock and do the things it takes to campaign. Tell us what you're seeing in Georgia. What does the early voting turnout mean, in your opinion?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And let me start quick before I get into that completely. If any of your listeners out there want to get involved in this effort over in Georgia, we want them. It's super easy to sign up. Just go to search on Google, Alabama Republican Party, ALGOP.org. First thing you'll see on there is a sign-up form. Help us over in Georgia. Poll watching is critical. This is one of the biggest targets in the entire country for the Trump campaign. Alabama voters can go to Georgia to poll watch. We want you to sign up there. Why that's important. Georgia is a key battleground state. We had Alabama volunteers knock 60,000 doors last week.
Wow.
And what we're doing is we're targeting disengagers. So what you were talking about, people who don't normally vote, we're encouraging them to go vote early. Don't wait till Election Day. We're doing the same thing the Democrats have been doing in the past. We're banking the vote early. And why we're so happy about the early turnout is when you look 3 days ago, you can check every day in Georgia. 3 days ago, 300,000 Georgians voted.
Yeah.
2 days ago, 250,000 Georgians voted. The demographic split on that was a lot of rural areas, a lot of voters over the age of 65, and the demographic breakdown was 70% white, 30% black. If you look at those metrics, those are Republican metrics. And so we have the chance. We think that we're going to break even on early voting if this trend continues. And if we do that, then it's game over on Election Day.
Well, man, it can't get here fast enough. And I am hoping that there's a big doings that night. Are y'all going to have a statewide party, watch party that night or what?
We are looking into that right now. We'll probably have something in Birmingham. We're trying to find the location. And when we get that done, we'll let you know because everyone is invited. We want to have a celebration here in Alabama. And then, of course, across the country, so many down ballot races that we're watching as well.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, taking back the Senate, holding the House.
Well, John Wall, calling us from the road, can't tell you how much we appreciate you. Thanks for your perspective. Thanks for what you're doing for the cause. And we'll talk again soon, man.
Hey, always good to be on the show.
All right, take care. That's Alabama Republican Party Chairman John Wall. Just got back from Mar-a-Lago. It's kind of funny. The other day I texted him. I said, can you come on so-and-so date? And he goes, well, I'm going to be at Mar-a-Lago. And I went, oh. I guess I'll wait a day or two because I want to hear about that. All right, tell you what, JP, move us to the break. We'll come back. I'll get some text messages. And then don't forget, coming up top of the hour, we'll put aside politics for a minute. Talk to JP on sports. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.